Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. St. Louis has long been among the national leaders in advocating for rights for the disabled. We'll talk about an organization that's been doing that here for four decades in just a couple of moments. But first, before 1990, disabled Americans suffered any number of discriminatory grievances. They were discriminated against in the workforce. Their access difficulties were largely ignored. Their overall independence and quality of life was compromised. The Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA, changed a lot of that two decades ago by recognizing the rights of the disabled. The ADA was used as a template for the Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities, or CRPD, which would extend similar rights to the worldwide population of 1 billion disabled. It has been ratified by 126 nations around the world, but ratification failed in the U.S. late last year. Colleen Starkloff is lobbying for U.S. ratification. She is co-director of the Starkloff Disability Institute of St. Louis, which advocates for the disabled. Her late husband, Max, founded Paraquad, a pioneering organization in the disability rights movement, with which his wife was long associated. Colleen Starkloff joins me in studio. It's so nice to see you again, Colleen. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's great to see you. Thank you for bringing me in. And nice offices.
Nice digs, as we
say.
Really
good digs. Yeah,
we talk about our new building, but it's already a little over a year old. Our time is somewhat limited. We have lots of ground to cover. Let's begin by having you give me an overall history of the CRPD.
Well, I guess I've been around long enough that I've become a bit of a historian. So there's good news and bad news in that. But we did, as you said in your introduction, advocate for the rights of people with disabilities, and a major, major landslide piece of legislation on that is the Americans with Disabilities Act, and that was passed in 1990, and by 2000. Max and I were in Hawaii at the Global Summit on Independent Living. Global meaning people from other countries were there as well, disability rights advocates. And we had been building long relationships with people with disabilities around the world for many, many years, starting in the 80s. So our friends and colleagues from other countries were there, and a call came up for a model policy that could be used around the world to model what we had done with the ADA. And by that time, the ADA was 10 years old and we were having some success. So it ended up becoming the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, which is not a meeting. A convention's not a meeting, but it is a treaty. And as you said, it's been ratified by 126 nations.
Under the auspices of the UN.
Yes, it's a United Nations treaty.
Okay. So 126 nations have ratified it. We haven't. With 126 nations, couldn't it be implemented without the U.S.?
Sure, it could. And as a matter of fact, it is in many instances. That, for example, in the area of employment, already nations that have ratified are looking at our language under reasonable accommodation, which is included in the treaty, and making reasonable accommodations that enable people with disabilities to work. So that's a really good thing. But, you know, we take a stance in this country on people's rights. And in other nations, the rights of people with disabilities just aren't there. I mean, you can not work, for example, something the Starkloff Disability Institute is very dedicated to, the ability for people with disabilities to work. We have the ADA, and we have Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act, which are two laws that we can go to that help to encourage employment of people with disabilities in our country. But in other countries, if they don't have rights, then disabled people don't really have something to pin their hopes on or a law that they can go and have enforced that enables them to prevent discrimination under employment.
So are you saying that this would move a lot more quickly if we set the example by also ratifying it?
We are being called upon by our friends and brothers and sisters all around the world, from Trinidad, Mongolia, India, Guatemala, Nigeria. There are people with disabilities begging us to stand with them, to be that model, to be that leader that we always are, and ask other countries to do like we've done in the United States. And we need to show that leadership.
You've given some indication of what life is like for the disabled in other parts of the world, but you've only scratched the surface. I mean, the word inhumanity comes up when talking about what's going on. Give us some sense of just how bad it is in some places.
Well, in some countries, for example, in African nations, sterilization, forced sterilization of women with disability is not uncommon so that they won't recreate something like themselves. That's a serious problem. We shouldn't be doing that. And taking children away from their parents so they can't raise them, either disabled children, and putting them into institutions, which is warehousing them. It's basically throwing them away. Or denying a disabled person's right to raise their own children. These are things that we don't believe in this country. We've never stood for that, and we don't tolerate that. And we've fought for it. There have been cases under the ADA where children were where efforts were made to try to take children away from disabled parents, and it was stopped.
Is it realistic to think that if there were the treaty, if it were implemented, that it would make a difference? I mean, if this is going on in these countries, you have to assume that a piece of paper is not going to change things.
No, but just – and that's a great point, because just like in the United States, before we had the piece of paper, we had to fight hard and we didn't have any leg to stand on. So we got the ADA passed. And before that, we got Section 504 of the Rehab Act passed. And that said, you can't discriminate. So when you have a law, then people have something to go to and say, look, we have this law. Look, you ratified this treaty. Now it's time for you to stand with us, recognize us as people who are citizens of this country, not society's castoffs. Make us a part of the full society. And if you have a law that enables you, that you always have to enforce a law. Just because you pass a law doesn't mean everybody's going to change their tune. But there's an attitude that is prevalent around the world, that people with disabilities are second-class citizens or no citizens at all. And that's why we passed the ADA. And that's why the United States needs to show leadership and say to other nations, yes, we support you. Recognize your citizens as people.
Help me with my numbers here. I think I have them right. When this came for a vote before the Senate, I think 61 senators voted in favor of ratification. 66
It was 62, I thought. Okay. We fell five votes short.
Five votes short. Okay. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Only five votes short, although it was a significant majority that did pass it. What was the problem? What were the objections that prevented this from being ratified?
Well, we heard a number of objections. One of them was, for example, Senator Blunt sent to us that there was a new Congress coming in and it wasn't fair to not let new people who were coming in to vote on such a significant treaty. And so new people are in and it's time to take that vote. And we're hoping that they will bring it to the Senate floor we're asking them to bring it to the Senate floor on the 26th of July, which is the anniversary of the ADA, the 23rd mm-hmm. anniversary of the ADA. We hope they'll do that. But there's been this tremendous opposition by the Homeschool Legal Defense Fund. Why, I don't know.
Homeschool? What's homeschooling got to do with this?
Wouldn't I like to know? They're saying things like it promotes abortion, which it doesn't. They're saying things that it would impact American laws, which it doesn't. It has nothing to do. We already have our laws in place. This is an opportunity to set an example for other nations around the world to set a good example and to set policy that would protect the rights of citizens in their country. So I truly don't understand. It doesn't promote abortion. It promotes good health care for people with disabilities in other countries, and that's been misconstrued to be something that promotes abortion, and it doesn't take your children away from you. The disability community's never been for taking disabled children away, never been against the rights of parents to raise their kids. So I don't understand what the opposition is, but it's not true.
This is fascinating to hear the kinds of objections being raised, you know, given what you say the treaty would do. And what the opposition is. I mean, you mentioned some of these countries are sterilizing disabled people. I mm-hmm. wonder if somehow that comes into the picture in terms of the abortion argument.
Well, I don't know how you put those two together and come up with abortion. I don't understand it. But it's not true. We don't support – we've never – the disability community in this country has never supported the idea of aborting. If you have amniocentesis and you find out your child's going to have Down syndrome, we've never gone for that. We've never supported that. People with disabilities have the rights to be and to live and to exist. But there are other aspects of this treaty. For example, I mentioned employment earlier. It would nations that ratify and have policies in their country against discrimination would open up employment opportunities. And you think about Americans who travel abroad for business reasons, or let's take, for example, the Paralympics. When you go to another country, and if they don't have accessible transportation or housing or restaurants, our athletes with disabilities who are the Paralympians can't move around like we do in our country. We have tremendous, tremendous changes that have come about as a result of the ADA. We're not perfect. We're not where we need to be yet. But we have a law that that stands behind our assertion that we have the rights to be full participating citizens in our society, and we want that to happen in other countries.
Well, I understand that it would benefit American travelers abroad who are disabled travelers, if you will. What are other advantages for this country that could be used in arguing against the opposition?
Well, as I said, it promotes global accessibility. It also continues our leadership role as a moral leader in the world, that we should not be discarding people. We should not be putting people in institutions. We should not be basically casting them off. And actually, when you think about that, there's an economic impact. If you warehouse people in institutions or you provide benefits for people who cannot be productive, there's a tremendous drain on your economy in your country. We're fighting that in this country. We believe that people with disabilities should be freed to go to work so they can become taxpayers rather than tax recipients and be on the dole. But it also, our leadership stands on basically on the human rights stance that we have. We think that moral and humane treatment of people with disabilities is very important for the U.S. to stand behind.
Would anything change in this country if this treaty were ratified? Does it change the ADA in any sense?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't change the ADA. It doesn't change the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. It doesn't have an impact on abortion. It doesn't have an impact on homeschooling. We have all of our laws in place, and we stand behind the laws that we have in place and the policy and practice we currently have in place. So, but it does export the example that we have set, the disability rights movement in this country, to fight for rights and fight for equality and independence for people with disabilities. And since we've done that, it doesn't make sense for us not to ratify this treaty and export that and lend our support to those other 126 nations who've ratified.
Right, we'll come back and continue this part of the conversation. I'd like to invite our listeners to become a part of it. What are your thoughts about this Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities and the fact this country has not ratified that treaty while 126 other nations have? Colleen Starkloff is my guest. She's co-director of the Starkloff Disability Institute here in St. Louis. We'd like very much to hear from you about this at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. You can also tweet us at STL on Air. Back with Colleen Starkloff in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation with Colleen Starkloff, co-director of the Starkloff Disability Institute here in St. Louis. What we are talking about, Colleen, I should say, as we begin our second segment here, Colleen is lobbying for ratification in this country of the Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. It is a treaty that would affect the disabled, 1 billion disabled people around the world. 126 nations have ratified that treaty. This country has not, even though there is significant support for it, Colleen. You say that there are literally hundreds of organizations that do support it.
Well, that's right. There are 568 organizations right now on the United States International Council on Disability website who have signed in. There are 21 veterans organizations. There are 26 faith-based organizations. The Chamber of Commerce has supported it. We have support from former President George H.W. Bush, from Senator Bob Dole, former Attorney General Dick Thornburgh, and former White House Counsel C. Boyden Gray, all of whom were active under President George H.W. Bush's leadership, by the way, who signed the ADA into law, and we had great support under the Republican administration when President Bush was president. We also have support from Senator John McCain of Arizona, Senator Iotti from New Hampshire, Senator Barrasso from Wyoming, Senator Brown from Massachusetts, Senator Collins from Maine, Senator Snow from Maine, and Senator Murkowski from Alaska. And now we need support from Senator Blunt from Missouri.
Yes, your op-ed piece in the Post-Dispatch recently was directed pretty much at trying to convince him to turn his vote around, although he initially was for it, was he not?
Well, what he is saying is that he has not – he's heard more from the opposition than he has from the proponents. So I'm asking people, I'm asking you to pick up your phones and dial 202-224-5721. That's Senator Blunt's Washington office, 202-224-5721. And just ask him, please support the CRPD, or you can even call it the Disability Treaty if you don't remember the CRPD. Ask him, because we know that there's plenty of ground-level support, grassroots support for this treaty, and we need him to hear that so he'll stand with us.
Boy, majority doesn't mean majority anymore, does it?
No,
it's got to be 61 votes, but you need 66 or whatever it is. Yeah. Let's take a call. We have John joining us from Webster Groves. John, go ahead. You're on the air with Colleen Starkloff.
Well, thank you. This is a personal medical information inquiry. I'll go through it real fast and see if something comes up that I can pass on. My ex-wife in New York got a prescription for a $12,000 wheelchair because she needs the back and hip support, can't just simply ride a scooter to her doctor's appointments. And she got a prescription from a doctor who was at a disability clinic in New York, which has recently closed. Now the doctor is somewhere else, but she's has a certain personality. She doesn't really want to follow through, since Medicare decided they are not going to pay for this wheelchair and want to take it back. The doctor is not really interested in pursuing it and sending in the papers saying that it's a medical necessity. Anything come up for you about where my ex-wife might turn? She's thinking of going to the cloud for cloud funding, but of course, there's maybe something else that you can think of.
We have independent living centers. This doesn't have to do with the treaty, of course, but there are independent living centers throughout this country. There's an independent living center in New York. I think it's called SUNY. Nope, that's not it. If you go to a website, it's ilru.org, ilru.org, and look under directories for New York, you will find organizations there that she can call to ask for help on that question.
And there may be some information forthcoming from our next guest from Paraquad.
Possibly.
A little bit
Possibly,
later in this
yeah.
program. John, thanks for the call. Stay tuned, and maybe you can come back, and we'll the next segment you can repeat that question. I want to go back to the opposition, Colleen. You've mentioned two things. You've mentioned that the opponents are citing their concerns that this would increase abortions worldwide, and the homeschooling part of it, it mystifies me. What do you see in that treaty that would have anything in the world to do with homeschooling? And if it has no impact in this country, I don't quite understand that at all.
Well, first of all, it doesn't have any impact on any laws in this country.
Right.
I want
right.
to make sure that we repeat that again. The treaty does not include abortion, and the phrase reproductive health in Article 25 does not create any abortion rights, and it can't be interpreted to constitute support, endorsement, or promotion of abortion. That's a statement from the State Department. Article 10, the Right to Life article, affirms that every human being has the inherent right to life and shall take all necessary measures to ensure its effective enjoyment by persons with disabilities on an equal basis with others. So I don't know how you get this how you come to that supports abortion. I do know that there's another article. Article 25 that ensures equal access to existing health care, and I think some people go to that and misconstrue it, and they say, but it states that persons with disabilities have the right to the enjoyment of the highest attainable standard of health without discrimination on the basis of disability, and it also says that parties will have to take all appropriate measures to ensure access to health for persons with disabilities, and that's because a lot of times people with disabilities don't get good health care in other countries. That's the intent behind that particular statement. Now, as to the homeschooling part, Article 23 of the CRPD, entitled Respect for Home and Family, ensures that a child shall not be separated from his or her parents against their will, except when competent authorities subject to judicial review determine in accordance with applicable laws that such separation is necessary in the best interest of the child. Best interest of the child does not mean take kids away from their parents. It never has meant that. We've never supported that.
If there is someone in the audience who would like to make the case in opposition, I'd very much like to hear from you, because this is as Colleen has just done, she's read the language, and it doesn't seem to indicate what the opposition says that it does. But there are people out there more knowledgeable than I who perhaps should be raising those issues. Are these the only two issues the opposition is raising with regard to homeschooling and abortion?
I think those are the strongest ones. They've been argued before Senate hearings on this, and the Homeschoolers Legal Defense Fund was there arguing it. But Senator Dole came in and argued against it, and Senator McCain, and I just don't get it.
Some of the more conservative.
Yeah.
Well, who are the leaders in opposition?
As far as I know, it's the Homeschoolers Legal Defense Fund.
But I mean, in terms of in the Senate, who is speaking out most forcefully, do you know?
I don't know.
I thought I saw the name Rick Santorum on one of your pieces of paper there.
Sorry. I shouldn't be flippant, but I have a hard time taking him seriously because of some of the positions that he has on this. And he is one of the ones. He has a child with a disability, and he is one of the ones who said that that it would give the right to take children away from their parents and not allow them to homeschool their parents. It doesn't have anything at all to do with American laws.
Right.
Nothing. And it wouldn't enforce that same kind of thing in another country.
Yeah. Is he saying that with regard to his concerns that this would happen in America, even though you say it wouldn't? Or is he concerned that this would happen in Timbuktu?
I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about.
Let's go back to the phones and bring in Dennis calling from Overland. Dennis, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, given the political environment we're in, I would think that if they could get next to the people in the administration and have somebody kind of float the idea that Obama was considering vetoing the whole bill, it might just fly through. You know, this is an example of how messed up we are, and these people that say they love this country, they seem to do everything they can to make it run into the ground. I wish your guest luck, and let's hope we're going to be moving into another era.
Well, I'd like to ask you to dial 202-224-5721 and ask Senator Blunt to please support this treaty. Also, people can go to www.starkloff.org. Starkloff is starkloff.org. There's more information there about the treaty and our desperate plea to all of you to help us reach Senator Blunt and ask him to please stand with us and show his leadership from Missouri.
Dennis is advising a little reverse psychology there. I think he said if the president would threaten to veto it, that the other side would go in the opposite direction.
Yeah, but the president doesn't. This isn't in the hands of the president. This is in the hands of the Senate. The Senate votes to ratify this treaty, and we need Senator Blunt's help on this.
President Obama has supported this, has indicated his support.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's right.
All right. Well, the next step is to get people to act and try to get action by the 26th of July, I think you said.
Right. Well, we have a call-in day going on right now asking people to dial 202-224-5721. Please call Senator Blunt right now. We also have a former Congressman, Tony Coelho, who was the key sponsor of the ADA in the House when he was in Washington. He's going to be meeting with Senator Blunt at 2:15 this afternoon. And those of us in Missouri need to stand behind his visit. He's going to ask Senator Blunt to please support it. He's a good friend of Senator Blunt's.
Yeah. I seem to remember that when Dick Gephardt was running for president, Tony Coelho was also one of his supporters at that time.
Well, he ran his campaign. He also ran Al Gore's campaign. Yeah. And he mentioned yesterday, he was in the state yesterday speaking, and he mentioned that the the Gephardt campaign didn't go like he'd planned, but Gore almost got there.
Well, maybe he'll have more success with Senator Blunt than he did with
then
Senator Vice President.
Go Tony.
Gore. Yeah. Any final thought you'd like to leave us with, Colleen?
I think it's important to recognize that when we stand behind our citizens and protect their rights, they can become full productive citizens. And when you have policies that you support, you begin to change people's attitudes toward an issue. And our issue that people with disabilities can be full, productive, equal citizens in our society. They can work, they can be parents, they can go to school, they can contribute to the well-being. That's what this is about. That's what Max and I have always stood for, and that's why I'm standing with this one.
Right. Colleen Starkloff, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll be watching what happens in the next few weeks with regard to this.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Good to see you again. Coming up, a look at the local organization founded by Colleen's husband, still going strong, still coming up with new ideas for the disabled. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.